Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wim Liu. This is your Canadian Women's Olympic National Team Reaction Podcast, and this one, which Canada beat South Korea convincingly by a score of 74-53, although that doesn't really tell you how close the game was, because over the course of the game, Canada did hold the lead, but Korea was very much in the game, threatening, you know, within striking distance, and at the end there, too, it felt like Korea really fell apart, a couple of key players fouled out, and honestly, just looked kind of tired, whereas Canada was able to get by with the strength of their roster. So, you know, this was a very important game, a must win for Canada, because they had dropped their opening game against Serbia. And look, you know, this is the nature of all tournament play, whether you're watching, you know, the Olympics or FIBA or, you know, the World Cup in basketball or the FIFA World Cup, you know, all these things. Like, pretty much every game's a must win. You know, very rarely do you get to a situation where you're sitting comfortable and you don't have to do much. Like, that doesn't really happen. When you play tournament games, they're pretty much all must-wins. Having said that, though, this one was really a must-win because having dropped the first game, Canada needed to take care of business. And they did that tonight against South Korea, which I have to say, for a large portion of the game, was not a very fun watch. And I'm all for defense and things like that. I think that's really, you know, again, really well-executed defensive plays were great. I think Canada, you know, forced Korea into shot clock violations at least 3 or 4 times, which was great to see, and that gets me pumped up. What doesn't get me pumped up is just players missing point-blank layups and open threes. I mean, at one point, I think at halftime, Korea and Canada had only made 2 threes apiece, with the score being 33 to 28. I mean, it wasn't a high-scoring game whatsoever, even with the quarters being a little bit shorter at 10 minutes instead of 12. And it just wasn't a lot of, you know, play finishing. In fact, I thought Korea actually out-executed Canada in the first half. They're a team that really works really well in tandem. You know, they run a play every single time down, 2 or 3 actions in that play. Shooters getting open. They have a really good big in the middle who was able to just really punish Canada. I mean, I don't want to say it looked like, you know, when you watch, you know, let's say the men's team play, but it was a similar situation with Korea having Park in the middle, who was 6'6". I mean, it was, you know, it was difficult to get around. And honestly, I thought Korea played really well. I really thought for a large portion of this game, you know, like, Korea could potentially steal it, but Canada's defense really did show up in that third quarter there. I mean, Korea struggled to shoot the three. It was almost comical. They shot 5 of 26 from 3. Canada wasn't much better at 4 of 14, but, you know, where Canada really pulled ahead in the third quarter was defensively, holding Korea to only 11 points. I mean, the defensive effort throughout the game for Canada was just strong. Korea scored no more than 15 points in the quarter. It went 15, 13, 11, and 14. So, you know, that part was great. But really where Canada pulled ahead was the absurd number of offensive rebounds that they collected. I mean, the Canadian national team, you got to tip your hat because they probably didn't come into this game anticipating, you know, a game plan. They're going to attack the glass this hard. Last game against Serbia didn't really have any of this sort of intensity on the offensive glass, let's say. But 22 offensive rebounds for Canada in a 40-minute game. Absurd, really. At one point, Canada was rebounding half their misses, which is, you know, it's just, it's going to lead to, you know, just more shots, and more shots is going to get you more points. You know, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes sports is not very difficult when you have possession like that. It's, you're gonna dominate. And, you know, honestly, for a large portion of the game, that's all Canada could get, was mostly subsisting on putbacks and sort of second chance opportunities. The ball movement, you know, for Canada was okay at times, but a lot of times, you know, some players were calling their own numbers and taking some bad shots. Just a, kind of a frustrating offensively. But when you can collect those extra possessions, that's what really helped, because the extra possessions is almost where Canada stole the game against Serbia as well. Even though Canada played poorly in that one, hasn't shot the three well in either game. But Canada was able to be in that game because they forced 28 turnovers. So that really helped them win the possession battle there as well. Today, not as many turnovers forced, only 7. Although there was really good ball pressure from the Canadians once again. I mean, every single time anybody has the ball, even if they're just at the top of the floor looking to initiate, clearly trying to pass off to the wing with some like screening action on the sides or whatever. Great ball pressure, you know, trying to control the flow of the game. I just think Korea actually executed their offensive sets really well, so they were able to negate some of that ball pressure. But the same pressure was there, but again, Canada just dominated the glass. And it was a really workmanlike effort. Like, everybody really contributed hard to this one. Again, this is not the game plan coming into this game, was to sort of, you know, basically pummel the Korean team on the inside. But really good job of gang rebounding by the Canadians. And, you know, it was a bit of a tough game, because I think one of the things that Canada, you know, will struggle with is a center in the middle, like a 6'6" presence that's really going to be able to establish their space and you know, be a threat on the roll and start to get downhill. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I think, you know, for the Canadian team, they don't really have that sort of naturally big player, which is so important in FIBA play, right? I mean, a large part of FIBA basketball is, like, there's a center in the standing in the paint all the time, 24/7, like Park Ji-soo did today. In 33 minutes, she was probably in the restricted area, like, at least, I don't know, man. I mean, 30 of those 32 minutes on both ends of the floor, and that's gonna really, you know, impact the game. I mean, you see, you know, that trend played out with the men's team, for example. They struggled with the Czechs had a 7-footer, and all of a sudden that person got like 14 and 19 and ended up beating Canada. And Canada's, you know, the men's team at least wasn't able to qualify. So that's part and parcel of the FIBA game, with the difference in what you're allowed to do with the defensive 3 seconds in the lane and stuff like that. But I think Canada did a good job, obviously, managing around that, finding ways to win. And that's what the tournament really is. Like, when you watch, again, any tournament played, no matter what kind of tournament you're watching, you're going to face different teams, you're going to face different styles, and you're, most importantly, you're going to face different challenges. And the thing is, you just need to win every freaking game, right? So you need to find different ways to win, and that's what Canada did today. And that's not to put aside the fact that you got some really good individual performances, and I really wanted to talk about that, because I think in game one, Bridget Carleton struggled. I was a little bit disappointed. I think you could see that, you could tell that she had the quality to really impact the game at a very high level, but you know, outside of a nice stretch and to start the fourth quarter, that wasn't really the case. I thought Bridget was kind of lost. Today, I mean, Bridget was fantastic, phenomenal, really. You know, it played really physically, which was really important, because, again, the outside shot wasn't falling for anybody. I mean, Bridget was 1 for 5 from 3. It's typically better than that. But a lot of just small, sneaky plays, smart plays, heads-up plays that, like, really contributed to a win. Those things factor in. Like, you know, for example, a really smart duck-in, right? Reading that the defense is, you know, blind to a certain spot, being able to cut into that space, receive the pass, go up strong, finish. You know, I mean, Bridget was making a lot of great plays like that, diving on the floor for loose balls, tying up possession and forcing the possession arrow to go the other way. Like, just a lot of really nice plays on both ends of the floor. And then some key important baskets in the fourth quarter there, where, you know, Korea had coming into the fourth quarter, Canada was, I think, up 10. Korea hits a mid-range jumper, and then, you know, one of their guards gets downhill and gets the free throw line off a nice little post-up fake. Lee cuts down to 6. You know, what is Canada's response there? and Bridget, you know, drove to her left, got fouled. The Korean defender on the replay, as it showed, had one arm contesting up top and the other arm holding Bridget down by the waist, just like pulling her down. But Bridget was able to have the strength to finish through the contact, the dexterity there to make the shot on the move while being fouled. Literally Isaiah Thomas hanging out to LeBron style. Okay, maybe not like that, but still, like, it was a really impressive play, really nice play that fired up the entire Canadian team. I thought Canada was going to win, especially considering Korea just couldn't hit any threes, but, you know, there was a small threat there, and Korea and Bridget really neutralized that with that and huge and one play, completed the play as well, and just was phenomenal. And late in the game, you know, she got a three, she got a driving layup baseline. So I mean, the Bridget was sensational in this game, and I think, you know, this is probably why, like, you know, coach Demitis is really going to lean on, you know, their backcourt, because that's where a lot of these possessions are going to have to come from. You know, there's enough pieces elsewhere to really kind of plug and play, but I mean, the bulk of where Canada's offense is going to come from is from the perimeter, from, you know, players like Shea Cauley, who hurt her shoulder in the other game against Serbia. You know, she didn't look good. She looked distraught. She didn't play from the third quarter onward after suffering a shoulder strain, because she was diving for a loose ball. But she was able to play, and she made some nice plays. I mean, you might look at 3-for-10 from the field and say that wasn't that impressive, but you know, some important baskets there, especially when Canada was struggling offensively as a team. Shea's able to get downhill, has a bit of that three to go with it. And, you know, that downhill threat is something that is a little bit harder for Canada to generate, because they don't have that natural point guard or even a wing that consistently gets downhill and is able to finish at the rim. They kind of have to, like, you know, Kia is more of a shooter. Even though Kia can slash, but, you know, her game is mostly shooting and finishing plays, not driving downhill, creating. Even Bridget, you know, I think she was very successful today playing her game, which was to sort of fill in, you know, find spots to contribute, play both ways, play in transition. That was good, but not also a downhill player. And I think Cauley, you know, provides you some of that sort of north-south pressure, you know, the way that you want Nyra Fields to do that, a little bit of that as well. So they're gonna have to rely on their backcourt is what I'm trying to say. And Bridget, I thought, was great. Kia, quite honestly, I've been a little bit disappointed, but in the two games, the first game I thought she took better shots than the shots she took tonight, where some of them were forced, quite frankly. Made a couple of late shot clock plays. Like, there was one at the start of the game where I think maybe the first basket for Canada, first or second basket, where shot clock was dying, Nurse, you know, pump faked, the Korean defender flies by with like 2 seconds left, and the Nurse catches the three. Like, that was great. I thought that was okay. Your shots are going to start to fall for Kia, but 3-for-11 for Kia today, 1-for-7 1-for-7 from the 2-point range. There was a lot of plays where it just felt like it was a forced shot, in the sense that it was a difficult shot. Maybe there were other options to look for. And also, maybe from your main players, you would want to see them try to create easier opportunities for the team as a whole. I thought game one, it was a different scenario where I think Kia only shot 5 of 18. But, like, Kia got open shots, mid-range shots, shots that she's comfortable with, shots where she was uncontested, shots within the flow of the offense that worked really well. And she just couldn't make them. Like, you have nights like that. That's fine. I like her aggression anyway. Today, it was a lot of forced shots, and you can even tell at the end where she got fouled on a play, which, you know, was even that was a little bit of a bailout play, but you could tell she was frustrated with the way that things were going. I mean, to her credit, she has played, I think the other game she played 38 minutes and 30 seconds out of 40, and this game she played 34 minutes, so, you know, a heavy workload by far. It led the team in minutes both games, and is clearly, like, the most important player on the team. So I'm sure she's frustrated that she hasn't gotten it going. I'm sure she's disappointed in some of these shooting lines, but, you know, Kia is very, very important. And if they're going to beat, you know, some of the tougher competition in the tournament, which they will need to do to, return as medalists, or even just get to the quarterfinals, she's going to have to do this against Spain. And, we'll see. Hopefully it turns it around. I'm happy to see what Bridget did. Honestly, you got to give a huge shout out to Canada's bigs. I thought Coach Demitis really did a good job of managing the game from that perspective. Pairing some forwards out there so that it wasn't just down to, you know, whether it was Natalie Achanwa starting the game. And Natalie was fantastic. 14 points, 10 rebounds, hit a bunch of jumpers, you know, made some nice passes as well. The thing with Natalie that's really great is that she's got the bulk and the size to sort of play a little bit and bang a little bit down low. But she also has what is so important for most bigs is to have that perimeter game. And maybe it's not spacing out the three, but even when you space out to the mid-range area, there's a lot of more things that you can unlock with that. You can obviously run a couple more dribble handoffs. You can run pick and pops. Or even just have her facilitate from the top of the floor where, you know, if you pull the center out and the center can shoot, well, all of a sudden you got space to cut into. And that's where, you know, players like Carlton, other, you know, and others were able to sort of capitalize on that. And that's where you see the, you know, Achanwa's five assists, you know, to, again, not to overbelay like comparisons to men, but like, you know, you can imagine sort of her role being similar to the way Kelly Olynyk has played for Team Canada, for example. So she was fantastic. And of course, she had to really, really contend with Park on the other end. And Park is bigger than her, more physical. And, you know, it probably wore her down. And you know, but I think Natalie fought for every inch. She made a number of nice plays. I mean, like, there was a play where late in the shot clock, the Raptors, Canada played some really good defense. It was down on, like, a short shot clock situation. And Natalie steps out to the perimeter and blocks the three. I mean, like, there's just a lot of really good plays that she made that, and you know, this is within the context of the fact that she just recently tore her MCL, and you could see her still wearing this giant brace on her knee, but she's fighting through it. I mean, again, 14 points, 10 rebounds was great effort from her. And then really from you know, the coach's perspective, like, you really just need to find the backup minutes, especially with Natalie playing so well. But, you know, you don't want her to have to overextend that much, especially all that banging is going to commit some fouls. She got four fouls in 23 minutes, battling a bigger player. So you have to find, you know, what your rotation is going to be. And, you know, there was a stretch there where coach went with Letitia Amu here, which, you know, I think she's just a little bit too young, you know, a little bit too skinny, where it impacted her finishing at the basket. She wasn't able to just go up straight up and put the layup in. I mean, 1 for 6, -7 in 6 minutes, lost, you know, didn't really have a lot of confidence out there, you know, had a loose ball come in their hands and just spill right out. It just wasn't good. Plus, you know, just the size mattered here. Like, you know, I think Letitia, like, there's certain matchups for a skinnier player that can jump a little bit, a little bit quicker, use that advantage. When you're going against a big bruising post-up player in a half-court setting, that's going to be a disadvantage, and we saw that a little bit. So that's where, you know, some of your depth and experience on the roster comes into play, and that's where Kayla Alexander was sensational tonight. 11 minutes as the other backup center, kind of a different look, but Kayla is more traditional, a little bit bigger, a stronger, older player as well, more seasoned. But Kayla came in and gave Canada a really, really nice calming presence defensively, winning defensive rebounds, winning offensive rebounds, you know, traditional big type of production. And this is why you have the team that you have, is you have some talent that you can really manage and shift around according to the matchups. And I thought Kayla gave them a great, you know, boost off the bench. 10 points in 11 minutes is great to see. You know, one of the nice things about FIBA basketball is that, I don't know, coaches' huddles are just completely mic'd up. So you are just privy to hearing what is the exact play call coming out of the thing, which is really cool, because then you get to go into the play and see whether or not that was executed. You know, was it according to plan? Was it not according to plan? It's really a huge benefit that I wish was, like, you know, a staple in NBA broadcasts, although I'm sure teams are, I don't know, sensitive or whatever, but in any case, you know, coach called a post up play for Kayla. The play set up. She was in the post. She went up with the little shoulder fake, turned the other way, went up for the shot, got fouled, hit both free throws. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a nice little detail. It's the same thing when you watch the Olympic qualifying tournament for the men's side. It was very fun to get into Nick Nurse's mind. Like, literally, you can be in that huddle and hear the exact plays, the exact terminology, the exact strategies, the exact tenor of their voices and what they're stressing. That's very cool to me. But yeah, anyway, so with this win, Canada, first off, accomplishes two things. One, you know, it keeps them alive in terms of, you know, going through the group stages here. But two, it also gives Canada a huge bump in terms of point differential. They only lost their first game by like 5 points, I think. This game, they obviously blew the Koreans out by 21 points. So that's really going to help and factor in down the line. It could be one of those tie-breaking situations. But yeah, I mean, for in terms of what you need to know in terms of this this tournament and Canada's bid to secure a third consecutive medal finish, which, by the way, give it up for Canadian women, man. I mean, I as of right now, as a recording, this is a Wednesday night, I still think it's just women who have won medals for Canada so far. Women, Canadian women have really been holding it down for the country. And yeah, I mean, again, not to compare and contrast the teams all that much ad nauseum, but you know, the men's team struggles to even get to the Olympics. Well, meanwhile, the women's team has medaled twice in a row now. And yeah, you know, I think it's really worth watching. I don't even need to say anything beyond that other than they play good basketball. It's really fun to watch the team. They play together. And yeah, it's been really fun. So anyway, in terms of what you need to know, so Canada is going to play their third and final group stage game on Friday. Let me just get the exact results. I don't know why my computer is freezing right now. This is not ideal. Okay, exit page. Yeah, sure, let's do that. Yeah, so Canada's going to play their third and final exit group stage game. This is going to be against Spain. And, you know, it's going to be a tough one. I don't want to mince any words. Spain is a very good team, arguably a better team than Canada. Spain is a team that you know, won silver in the last Olympics. Obviously, you know, silver is probably the best that most teams can hope for outside of the United States, considering the women's national team in the States is just so dominant. But yeah, Spain is a very formidable team, and they're going to play Serbia. That's going to be a heavyweight battle. That's happening later, I guess, today in Japan, although it's later tomorrow in Toronto. But yeah, Canada's going to play Spain at 9 p.m. on Saturday. I really hope people tune in to watch this. I mean, the games are really fun. I mean, there'll be, you know, it's competitive. And listen, I think Canada has a chance here. I think here, two things that really make me feel good about this in terms of from the Canadian perspective. I think number one, Kia is just due for a breakout. Like, she's not going to go the whole time on breaking all these shots. Kia is a very good player, very good shooter, very skilled player, plays with a chip on her shoulder, has a confidence about her. I don't see her having three bad games in a row. And, you know, I'm banking on a better performance from Kia. Two, I think the way Canada has played in terms of their physicality has been so difficult for other teams to deal with. You know, you look at in the first game against Serbia, forcing a veteran team like that, an experienced and accomplished team, into 28 turnovers because of how much pressure they put on the ball at all times is very impressive. And it's very impressive that pressure sustained itself for 40 minutes. Sometimes teams compress for a while, but then they get tired and, you know, then it starts to break down. Then you start to give back the points you really worked hard to get in the first place. So that's one thing. And then this game where they just completely pummeled Korea, even though Korea had the biggest player on the floor, Canada comes in and wins 22 offensive rebounds. Like, that's, you know, the depth of the roster, the way Coach Tamaita has really, outside of Kia and I guess Bridget, has basically really shuffled the minutes around in the front court to keep everybody fresh, to keep the intensity high, has been really smart. I think it really has leveraged Canada's advantage in athleticism in most of these games, and it also makes for a fun style of play. Like, it's exactly the kind of basketball that I think a lot of Canadians love to watch in sports in general, not just in basketball, but just really hard, battling, scrappy, physical, intense. And yeah, so 9 p.m. Saturday, Canada versus Spain, be there. In terms of your three stars from this game, I will have to go with Bridget Carleton, number one. I think, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, you know, no turnovers, only 1 foul, drew 3 fouls, blocked a shot. I mean, since just great all-around play, I thought Bridget was really good for the whole game. I was just consistently impressed with the plays that she was coming up with. She had a play where she blocked the 3 at the end of the shot clock for Korea, then took it the other way for a layup. You know, it was, it was just a really good game from Bridget Carleton. In terms of your second star, we get to Natalie Achonwa. I think, again, she had to deal with the bulk of the park assignment, which, whew, man, I was tired watching it. I think I texted Alex, who was also watching this game. I think I texted him. I was like, "We gotta put a body on Parkeel O'Neal." Like, it was really feeling that way. But yeah, I mean, Natalie Achonwa, you know, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 7 of 15 shooting, 23 minutes, played good defense, set up the plays, spacing, toughness on the inside, playing through injury, everything you would want, laying all on the line for Canada here. And then third star, I think Kayla Alexander was great. 10 points, 4 rebounds as a reserve off the bench. Provided that same defensive intensity, that size, to sort of bother Park a little bit, but also just the offense to go along with it. The traditional post-up plays, a little mid-range jumpers, a little free-throw line jumpers, drawing the fouls, getting to the free-throw line, and finishing. Just exactly what you want in terms of a boost off the bench. The intensity didn't drop. Canada didn't have to play that differently. They could still go through the post. And yeah, it was a pretty good performance. So, I mean, in terms of Gerald Henderson Award winner, I don't even know, to quite honestly. First off, I mean, I guess you could give it to Park Ji-soo. Like, you know, I keep talking about her. She was just such a problem for Canada because of her size and her physicality. She was relentless. 33 minutes, you know, exhausting to play at a big size. And yeah, I mean, man, 5 blocks, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 7 of 12 shooting. That doesn't even fully capture how difficult it was to just, like, keep her off the glass and just keep her out of the paint. It was exhausting watching it. And she was diving on the floor, too. Huge commitment shown by both countries. And, she was arguably the best player, the most impactful player on the game. But Canada, I think, just had more depth, especially because, I mean, you know, no offense to South Koreans, but they just couldn't hit any shots. Like, it was almost sad to watch. It really was. At least they got one or two threes late in the game when the game was decided. But, like, yeah, it was a tough watch from that perspective. But, hey, listen, Canada got the win. You know, pivotal game coming up this weekend against Spain. Hopefully Canada can get through the group stages here. And, you know, look, they have the talent to beat a lot of teams. Maybe not Team USA because they're just levels above everyone else. But, you know, like, they have the real capability here to do something and get back to the podium, which they have done so in 2012 and 2016. So I would love to see it 3 years in a row from this team. I've really enjoyed watching games 1 and 2, and I'll talk to you after game 3.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.